Lowe's, we want to encourage you to let it go now and create opportunities for local arts, music, and culture to flourish. KPFT's vehicle donation program offers fast, free pickup and towing from anywhere, an easy donation process, and one of the best charitable tax deductions around. Call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org to donate. Again, that's 1-855-KPFT-CAR to help out with that year-end gift. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, kpft.org worldwide.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. Coming up next, Technology Bites.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to tonight's edition of Technology Bites.
All right, so big doings are transpiring. Thank you, sir. All right, welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Rufus.
Yes, Pete is taking care of personal business. Lee is taking care of himself.
Leaving. Obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Pete and Lee. Both missing shows at the same time. This is not the first time this has happened. But, and it probably won't be the last.
Can't they coordinate their personal crises?
You know, you would think, after all these years, they'd figure it out.
All these years.
Oh, I dropped a dime.
Use Bitcoin, this wouldn't happen.
That's right.
All right, so, you know, the think tank that is Technology Bites has been contemplating its digital navel and thinking about what's going on here and what we've been doing in the last 20-some-odd years that Technology Bites has been on the air. And we tried this new format for the last year where we had a news roundtable and a discussion, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't seem to work. be funny if Pete was trying to dial in and we just didn't know it. He made it at the last minute.
Like he's listening to us.
He might be.
I can see. I can see.
Doesn't hurt.
Hello, Pete. Are you there?
No.
He's legitimately not here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So cool. So anyway, you know, not because they're not here, but this is as good a time as any to try it out. And we got, you know, we've had feedback over the last year about the new format, and some people have really liked it, and some people have said, yeah, you know, maybe not so much. So we are going to reintroduce the call-in portion of the show, which will really be up to you as the listener to determine how long and how much of the show is the call-in portion. Could be the whole show.
What's a phone? Is that like that's the texting with the voice?
It's like the it's like texting with your mouth.
Okay. That sounds dangerous.
Well, we'll have to see. But you know, I was, you know, we give out the phone number during the fundraiser and it never rings, so we'll see what happens when we invite people to call in and talk tech with us.
You know, the thing is, like, culture has changed so much that a lot of people won't make phone calls. Unless it's in some kind of emergency.
Like apprehensive about, or they consider it poor form?
Like, especially the younger people get, the less they actually make physical, like, phone, like dialing the phone and talking on the phone. They all send text messages. Mm-hmm. And it's only if it's something like desperate, an emergency, like they have to get in somebody to...
It's like, why are you calling me?
It's considered impolite, basically.
I respond every time my phone rings that it must be an emergency. If someone's calling me.
What's going on?
What the heck?
Who died?
I'll put down my desk phone to answer my cell phone because I think it's like, you know, why is somebody calling me? It's like, it's either my doctor with bad news or it's the alarm company.
Okay, so that may be not be cultural. That may be age-related.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I may be old, but I've got culture.
Culture club.
Well, I've never, ever been a fan of being on the phone.
A phone freak.
Yeah, I see what you did there. No, I see people that are on their phones all the time. They're just, you know, if they're either their salespeople or they're shopping at the grocery store or whatever it is, they've got to be on the phone all the time. And I mean, I'm very, you know, if I've got to make a phone call, I make the phone call, state my business, deal with it, get off the phone. I don't like, hey, you know, what's going on? You know,
No time for chatting.
And I don't really, you know, Twitter's probably the closest I come to chatting now. But so I'm not a fan of being on the phone anyway. So when it rings, it's kind of irritating. I don't, you know, it better be important.
So that's kind of how you feel about the show now, right?
Well, I was going to clarify.
Yes.
Like, it better be important if you're going to call the show.
Well, it's even like to the point where, like, at my desk, like if my desk phone rings, I'm totally cool with that because that's designed to ring. That's what it's there for. Call if you need something. But I'll be on my desk phone and my cell phone will ring. And I can't. Ooh. That just drives me nuts because it's like...
Two phones.
I cannot leave a ringing
phone.
Does not
compute.
I cannot leave it unanswered.
The work's not on silent.
Huh?
That the cell phone at work's not on silent?
Even if it's on silent, I can tell.
You know it's ringing.
I know.
You know, I feel a vibration in the force. I used to be that way where, like, if my phone rang, I was compelled to pick it up. Like, I couldn't stop myself. Like, and I could not grasp people. Their phone would ring, and they would look at it and not answer it. I was like, what is wrong with you?
Caller.
Are you going to get that?
And now,
because you stop. I'll stop. If your phone's ringing, I'll stop. Are you going to get that?
No, I don't do that anymore. I'm pretty much, I'm just like, what, you're going to answer that? Like
surprise.
This random number that you don't have programmed to anybody's name in your phone,
no.
You're going to take it
That's
over
not
talking
getting
to me?
Answered. That number's not.
See, the thing
answered.
Is, if it doesn't
caller ID blocked.
If it doesn't have a name pop up for my address book, I pretty much don't answer.
So I've got a workish phone, so if mine rings, I actually have to answer it because it usually is. If it's a number I don't have, it's usually somebody
it's a work
new
phone,
with an issue.
You know,
and I'll even like hop out of the shower, just do silly phone killing maneuvers to go answer a ringing phone, and it usually is. It's usually something bad. When I let it go, it's like okay, the building's on fire. Okay, should have called.
Well, if they call and I don't answer. And they call someone else, like if it's work-related, they call someone else, and then they mess it up, and it's coming back to me anyway.
I just figure, you know, if it's somebody that really wants to talk to me, they'll leave a voicemail, and then I'll listen to the voicemail, and I'll call them back.
Or they could just text.
Or if they would have texted, it would have been even easier.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's how we feel.
Whoa.
Whoa, what?
The monitor is freaking
out.
No,
it wasn't the monitor. It was just
that
one
monitor in the middle was blinking, and it made
it was like you know, there's somebody haunted in that room right now, and it was almost like there was like a demon possession going on, like the whole...
Everything was inverted.
Welcome to surveillance radio.
I installed BSD. No, you're sitting in the Jay Lee seat, where Jay Lee went power hungry with surveillance with the all-seeing eyes not too long ago. Now you're in the
now
same
you're
seat.
Seeing ghosts.
The Eye of Sauron.
Phantoms. Seat.
No, it was...
It's more like...
It was like a...
An X-ray.
Oh, man.
Inverted video.
Have you watched any...
I don't watch enough of those Ghost Hunter shows. So have you... I was going to say that,
Phantasm.
It was like... It was some kind of like phantasmic electrical impulse...
Interruption.
Inversion that was like making electronics go haywire.
You haven't watched any VHS tapes being passed around lately.
Probably just a rat.
Oh, it's a loose cable. There we go. It's fixed. Not a ghost.
Not a ghost.
Welcome to Ghost Hunter Radio.
I was driving through Houston...
So, we're going to open up the phone lines, which Groovehouse is so excited about and
hey,
happy.
It's fun.
It's going to be good. So, if you have...
A new theme for taking calls.
Phone time.
Callers. We take callers.
Do we give out the vitals? Have we done that?
Well, thanks, Groovehouse.
Yes. Well, I don't know. We're just going to go straight into the phones.
Why don't we get Groovehouse to do it?
Groovehouse to give out the vitals.
Yeah.
It's a trap. It's a trap. All right. He's not.
He told you this would happen. Bailey called us in the lobby. Oh. It's your show, man.
Groovehouse. Now
step up and be a radio personality.
No, we can't put him on the spot because it's just cruel.
There are ghosts in the studio. Something just flew in from the other room and almost struck me.
All right. So, if you want to learn about the show in the limited capacity that we offer any information, it's all at geekradio.com. So you can go to geekradio.com. That's where you can download the podcast, the previous shows. You can find out when the geek gatherings are, like the one coming up this Friday at Cones. Cones just celebrated 8 years of existing.
Friday.
Wow. As a bar?
Yeah.
As opposed to
what?
Just something existing. Else?
Well, we were there before
he's
that.
He's older than eight.
He's older than eight. He's got roots in...
Not Cone celebrated 8 years of existing. We're talking about Cones.
Cones, okay.
The bar, the place, the space
place
where we have...
Where we once had, it was once Tropioca. We had geek gatherings there.
It was the Tropioca next door.
It was next to it.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay.
It was where the
Mexican restaurant
Luna y Sol is.
Yeah, Luna y Sol was Tropioca.
And we stayed there until somebody,
Shot the window out. Not while we were there, but
wasn't mean.
We took the hint and moved on. I was actually very skeptical about holding it at Cones, and it's actually worked out pretty well. Well, it just seemed like it seemed like an awkward space because it's out
a
lot of
space.
But I mean, considering we can sit outside most days of the year, even in the summer, still have it be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's been nice and it's easy to get to.
Look,
are y'all looking at the monitors?
Yeah, it's doing it again. But guess what? The person's gone.
Get your phone video.
I can't see it. The monitor's pointing away from us. They abducted them. They're gone. The ghost got them now.
He needs to do it on his phone so he can share it.
Are you guys watching Pac-Man?
Pong. It's Pong.
So,
but it's an evil entity. So it. You know, as soon as
I do
this...
You can't photograph it or video it.
As soon as I do this, it's going to stop.
It's going to go away.
Here's a segue into evil entity and no one calling anymore. So this is cool, maybe. The president, pretty soon, I guess starting January 20th, is going to have the power to send mass text messages to the entire nation, to the mm-hmm. phones, like an unblockable text message.
Can you block it like a
number
alert?
No, I don't think you can. I think this is going to go straight through. So I'm assuming it's going to be used for, you know, like things
Trump.
Like in time of war or whatever. Not like, you know, like his new Twitter stream. But either way... That's interesting.
Global unstoppable
fake
Twitter.
News.
They could only be 90 characters,
though. Barrett?
No, I don't think so.
That's
it's fake news.
You better check your source.
No, it's actually not.
It's on Slashdot. It's got to be true.
It's on Slashdot and New York Mag, several other places. And it's actually the the wireless emergency alert, which I think it's not like super new news.
It's
just
be
that people are just putting two and two together.
Twitter? Is that what's happening?
No. But although I think probably Obama may have had a watered down slice of this power. It's just that this is coming online soon.
Hmm.
So it's like Amber Alerts. It's so here's the thing. The WA delivers Amber Alerts. And alerts involving immediate, imminent safety to threats or life, and then also alerts issued by the president. So I don't know if the president thing is new or not, but that's definitely in there.
There's one now.
Let's see what he has to say.
He heard you talking about it and said, let me address Barrett.
Oh,
it's a hotline.
I just got texted by Flicted, who's got a video of the ghost of the machine.
Look, she's back, and it's not blinking.
Maybe she's the ghost. Maybe she's possessed.
Oh, she's not really here. It's just a ghost.
Can you block it like an amber? I can't make the video get big inside of my chat.
That's good radio, too.
That is great. Oh, there it goes. Perfect. All right, Sidus. Wow, it's flickering.
Hackers.
Harkers. All right. So,
tis the season for harkers.
So, yes, you can visit us online at geekradio.com. But also, there's the IRC thing happening, irc.geekradio.com or irc.failure.net. irc.failure.net. Actually, without everybody here, I wonder if I could get in.
So this is actually, I tracked it down. It's actually on fcc.gov. It's been expanded. So the deal is, before, I think you're getting all the alerts, but participating carriers can allow subscribers to block all of the alerts, which means the Amber alerts, all that stuff, except for the presidential alerts. Mm. So his is the one, or whoever, is the one unblockable text message, the one true text message.
The one to rule them all.
The ping of death.
Death ping.
In how many characters? 90 characters or less.
Is that all it gets? Is that
I think
limit?
So, yeah. It's not even as good as Twitter.
Wow. Killed by 90 characters. Execute order number 66.
Wow. We got some people in the IRC. All right. So, you can hang out on the IRC. You can visit us at geekradio.com. But here is the most important, or the new hotness. Or the reheated hotness.
Lukewarm. It's kind of lukewarm.
We'll see how it goes.
Stewing.
But if you want to call in.
As a dog returns to its vomit.
Oh.
Oh, man. I don't even know what that means.
That was glitching.
Is that from Scripture?
Yes.
It is from Scripture.
That is Scripture.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Jesus Radio. All right. We're going to try all the formats. But the phone number, if you want to call in tonight, is 713-526-5738. Even if you want to just tell us what you think about the format.
Wow.
What?
Why don't you just call us and just really be blunt about what you think about each one of
us. Don't tell it to the person who answers the phone. Wait till we put you on the air.
And this is an important one. When the person answers the phone, don't start talking to them about your problems for like 15 minutes. They just want to know like a little 5-second snippet of what's going on so they can write that on the screen so the people on the show have some idea of what you might talk about until you get on the air and then actually start talking about something else completely.
Only one thing that comes close to how much Groovehouse hates talking on the radio, and that's talking to listeners on the phone.
Wow.
Well, you know, he really wants you to save it for on the air.
When y'all decided to change format, I just embraced it. Yeah, so. Not like I hate the phones or anything. I mean, you just said
teasing.
No calls, and I was like, no calls.
Right. You want me to do less? I'm okay with that. No talk, no answer phone.
So if you're having an issue dialing up, any Winsock issues, what else are we dealing with?
The most esoteric question wins a prize.
Careful.
Please no.
Careful.
A Sony Clio.
A palm something or another.
A handspring
from this dumpster.
Visor Ice 2 MB.
So if you've been longing for the days of call-in technology bites, tonight's the night to see if it's going to fly.
We're going to take calls after Barrett time, right?
Yep.
Talk about bringing
we don't have to wait. It'll be just like it would be at 9:01.
quiet.
713-526-5738 is the number to call. We're not asking you to pledge if you want to call in and talk to us.
We'll take your money, though. Definitely.
You're going to take a pledge?
We'll take pledges.
Oh, sure, why not?
If you wanted... But, yeah, technology is...
All right, so what did you find, Barrett?
Oh, nothing big. I'm just seeing what's going on in the world today. So the PC industry, just like, you know, the reports of technology by its death, everyone said the PC industry was dying and general purpose computers were dying, but they're making a comeback. They're showing some signs of recovery.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years. LL. Yes. So yeah, it's jumped up quite a bit. Not a lot, but you know, like 7.2% fall is what they were looking at. It's actually up by 2.6%. So that's not bad.
So, but because
someone bought a computer,
because enough computers got old enough that people actually needed to buy new ones. Okay. Finally,
too much.
Yeah,
spyware.
I think that's what the deal is. I don't know. Are people spending more? I mean, when was the last time you guys bought a computer? Like, mine's old.
2012.
Yeah, 4 years. Do you upgrade?
I maxed out the memory and right away, and to 16 gig, and then I changed out the hard drive about 4 or 6 months ago. I went up to like a 750 gig or maybe a terabyte, but it was still physical, like spinning disk. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to go to solid state, but the price point just still wasn't there for the size of hard drive I wanted.
Ooh, we got a call.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to call. But it looks like we got a call coming in, maybe two, I don't know. And Groovehouse is fielding that call.
I bet Groovehouse is really happy right now, getting Chalk on the phone after all this time.
Is getting Chalk on the phone?
Getting to talk on the phone, speak on the phone.
Oh, I thought my nickname was registered.
You were not registered. Yeah, a week ago at work, we built a NAS kind of from scratch because we were in a pinch. We had a lot of, you know, we needed a lot more storage really, really quickly. Ah. We will parlay that and talk to Cindy.
Cindy, in the first call out of the chute. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
What can we do for you tonight?
A quick question on virus protection.
Okay.
The stuff that you can buy on your own versus those ads that they have on TV. I can't even remember the name of it, but, you know, used by government something. So is something like Viper good or something else?
Are you on Windows? Or are you on, I'm assuming you're on a Windows machine?
Yes, Windows.
What version?
I hate to say it. I refused to do the upgrade. I didn't want them to tell me what to do, so I stayed on the old one.
Which is the old one? Okay, old. That's not super, super old. That's not
Windows
XP.
Windows 7?
Windows 7.
Yeah, that Windows 7 is fine. I still use Windows 7 on my Windows computer.
Windows 7 is still supported by Microsoft, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
I still like Windows. I still like the feel of 7 more than I like 8 and 10. That's right. Just me, though. All right, so I haven't seen any. I would be suspicious of, like, antivirus ads on TV, but I haven't seen any. Have you...
There are a number of radio shows and television advertisements of things to clean up, speed up your computer, where they're repackaging, reselling free antivirus solutions, basically.
That's what I would think. It sounds kind of scammy.
Yeah. If you want to run an antivirus on your you need to run an antivirus on your Windows computer, that's absolutely imperative. So if you're not interested, and most people tend to go with like Norton or
AVG.
I'd say the top ones are like McAfee and Norton, but they're usually they're subscription based, and they also have a lot of junk. You know, they just take up a lot of system resources. So some of the free ones that are out there that are nicer is AVG. And if you Google search free AVG, they offer a free version of their antivirus, and it's a good antivirus program.
They made it a lot easier. If you just go to avg.com, that's pretty. The free download's right there. It used to be kind of buried. You had to go kind of dig for it, like they wanted you to get the other one. But it's pretty easy now.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. Thanks for your call. Wow.
Just like old times.
Just like old times. Just like falling off a bike.
So I wonder, are those late night commercials? Have you guys actually seen one of these? Are they cheesy?
I don't watch much TV, but I have seen them, but I don't remember the names of any of them. I mean, like I remember seeing for computers like Blue Rhino. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the Blue Rhino commercials for desktops.
I know all this stuff, like, I've seen stuff in magazines, a lot of the pop-up ads, you know, the things that say, oh, we've detected that your computer's slow, and it shows you, like, you know, things moving really slow. All that, I wouldn't trust any of that. Most of the time, especially if they want you to install something, I wouldn't. I would go, like Jay said, and go to one of the bigger names. Most things have Trojans, and most things have other things packaged in there. But worst, you know, best case, you get a lot of other stuff that you don't actually need.
And 7 was before Windows Defender, right? Defender wasn't until 10.
Yeah, well,
no,
it was Defender, built in 7, right?
There's actually, I was, now that you mention it, there is, what is the Windows?
The Windows.
Antivirus that they
Security pack? Essentials?
Windows Security Essentials. You can download that. That's also available for Windows, and it's apparently very good.
Hopefully Cindy's still listening.
Security Essentials. If you Google search us.
Just like old times.
Just like old times. Oops.
If you Google search Windows Security Essentials, you can find the download for that. And it is a good antivirus program made by Microsoft.
So I was leery of that. When they first came out with that, I always thought, you know, just like, you know, the people that write the software probably shouldn't be the same people testing the software. Because it looks like, oh, yeah, it looks good. You know, I wrote it. No problems. Yeah, that just goes poorly, like, for firsthand. So I thought Windows, you know, shouldn't be the ones calling their own security vulnerabilities, and it should be baked in. But after using it for a little while, I mean, it looks fairly solid. It looks like it's catching most of the things out there from what I've read about it. I would trust it. I guess the question is, would you, knowing that you've got Security Essentials, do you still run something on top of Security Essentials?
I've heard good reports on Security Essentials being pretty much all you really need. And again, from way back when we used to take phone calls, but there's not an antivirus program out there that I've found that catches all of it, right? It's just, and there's not an antivirus program that will protect you from yourself necessarily. If you go out and download and install a piece of software on purpose and it happens to be filled with malware or spyware or viruses, you're basically saying, I'm putting this on my computer. Your computer goes, yes, master, and lets you do it. And some stuff gets detected by the antivirus programs and some stuff doesn't. So it's always good to be thinking about how you're interacting with your computer, too. What just happened? Somebody came in the studio and
things were updated.
Important update.
Important updates.
This just in.
Thank so, you know, be careful what you download, be careful what you install, be careful what websites you visit.
I think it's people are a lot more apt to install, I've noticed, like whatever random application on their phone than they are on a computer. I think like people have heard enough bad things, enough horror stories to where they just don't, you know, go willy-nilly clicking install on desktop machines and on laptop machines. But on people's mobile phones, it seems like, you know, if a game comes up or if a soundboard comes up or if, you know, any kind of, you know, like kitten picture application comes up, I'm not worried that the building's on fire. Jay just Jay's cell phone rang. Jay has left the building.
he must answer this call.
But apparently,
you know, he went out because he got something in his eye.
Cool again.
You know, there. He took a call and yeah, like
he was screaming in the hall. You can't hear him through the soundproof door, but
what's that?
His arms were flailing.
We could feel the vibration.
The door.
Was it too loud?
No, we were saying you went out there to
scream in existential angst.
There you go.
Serenity now. No, all of a sudden I'm very, my nose is
Sanity later.
You are crying.
It's just such a magic
first call.
First call.
So, who's cutting onions? More dressing?
Well, you know, maybe it's the way that we're going to ease back into the calls, I guess. You know, I will say this, you know, one of the things that my company that I work for is doing right now is a really huge security awareness initiative, you know, to the user. So to the point where we have this whole thing, a test you have to take, you know, and where it informs you about data security, when, you know, what you should and shouldn't do, and is this a sign of a possible attack or
your,
not?
Your email account has been locked out, so if you want to continue to receive email because we locked it, you need to send us your username and password so we can reset it.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, so in a lot of ways, it's really good, but it reminds me of how tedious and irritating security can be. Because you empower, you know, it's good to empower the users with an idea of protecting their data, protecting the company data. But on the other hand, you get people that are just really gung-ho about participating in the process, and everything is suspect. So you send out a company email that's really legit and says, you need to do this, you need to install this. And if you don't have it properly plastered with your company logo and some kind of identifier, it's like, I just got this suspicious email telling me to install this.
There was just something not quite right. Like the G in that font just was off.
Yeah.
This email saying I'm taking security training too seriously looks suspicious.
And then, you know, fortunately, I'm pretty stingy with user data, so I don't tend to fall for this, but it's an easy hack. And we get, especially in Germany, we have German offices, and the Germans are particularly just
they're
weird.
They're really sensitive about that stuff.
They're weird about security.
Their laws are, like, really strict.
But they're also, like, if they sense that there's a vulnerability or something is not quite right, they seem
attack it.
They have a certain, I don't know what's the German word for pleasure at someone else's pain.
If only there were such a word in German.
We have these guys that, you know, what they'll do is, first of all, they'll wait so long that their password expires, and so they can't log in, and they haven't set any of the security stuff to be able to unlock their own account. Mm. So they have to call into the service desk to get their password reset, and they get their password reset. But if it's too easy, if we didn't take them through the ringer and make them really work for it, they then submit a ticket saying, well,
it was way too easy for me to get my password reset.
Wow. Submit a vial of blood along with a video of you taking the blood
to this address. On the one hand, they were very helpful and responsive, but on the other hand, they were too helpful and too responsive. So I have to give it a thumbs down. But also, you know, just getting all this ridiculous stuff into the ticketing system about, well, I'm not really sure what this is. And on the other hand, people are so suspicious of like fake invoices and stuff. We got a notice from Aaron about that we had to pay our annual dues to Aaron because, you know, we have IP addresses. And I'm not sure if we should pay this invoice. No, please pay that invoice.
You're right. We shouldn't pay this invoice.
No, Network Solutions is a scam, but Aaron seems legit.
What's the worst that could happen?
Well, fortunately, we route a lot of private IPs, so take that, Aaron.
Ouch.
713-526-5738 if you want to talk about IP addresses or computers or technology.
Security training. So security training is trickling down. People know not to click on stuff in emails. People know not to do stuff like that.
But they do
don't.
It anyway.
They don't know.
They're learning. They're getting better about it.
I mean, when we talk about security and the evolution of security in our tech lives, I mean, I've noticed that if you click on your Wi-Fi icon on your laptop and you take a look at all the available Wi-Fi hotspots in your area.
Very rarely will you find an open one these days.
Very rarely. Very rarely because, well, not necessarily
not
because...
Not Wi-Fi.
Not necessarily users have become more aware, but the...
Default setup on the equipment
default
shipping,
setup
yeah.
is secure.
Well, and I think also that they've heard... I think a lot of people has been passed around as like, you know... urban legend and tribal knowledge, you know, that if you leave it open, then, you know, somebody can watch kid porn and you'll go to jail forever. Like that kind of stuff. And it makes people paranoid to like lock their stuff down because they don't want to, because they've heard stories about where somebody, you know, used an open Wi-Fi to do something illegal and it came back to that person. You know what I mean? Like I've heard those stories passed around. I think that probably also influences people to be like, you know what, maybe it's not a good idea to have it open because you can really get messed over that way.
That's still pretty geolocationable, and I don't know if that's a word, and very trackable. I mean, everyone who's doing anything even halfway shady is on a Tor node, and a quarter of the Tor node is supposedly owned by three-letter agencies.
Or they're
anyway.
On public open Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they're at the library.
You know, so, yeah.
So the point to this that I had is that I'm having a really hard time convincing people not to just go install applications on mobile phones. They think that if it comes through, and most times too, if it does come through the Apple Store, if it does come through the Play Store, they try to vet applications for stuff like that. Although there's been a lot of, I know Apple, they haven't caught a lot of flack, but Apple sells a lot of like things, for instance, that are not Microsoft Word, that have little blue W's and look a lot like Microsoft Word, and they just might be like a font pack for Microsoft Word for like $30, and Apple sees like $10 of that. They take 33% off the top of everything, I think, somewhere in there. And you know, a lot of things like that. So they're capitalizing on a lot of their customer base not understanding the applications that they're buying. But at the same time, I know that some reports came out, and they're like more than a million Android devices are running around with the Gulligan malware on there. And that's like it roots your phone. I think it originally came out as a piece of malware that was supposed to generate clicks, to generate, you know, ad revenue for people that wanted to pay into it. I think it had a cool name like Ghost Push or something like that. And then it morphed into Gulligan, and I was there. There's no way it's on a million devices, but it is. And the only way to get it on there is someone has to really install this. So it's the people are installing apps that, you know, they just don't really know. And that's the thing. A lot of these apps, it's like it's pretty easy just to tack this on to an application and get that in the store.
Well, to that point, interestingly enough, we have, we're doing a big mobile security rollout where we're basically telling everybody who works for the company that in order to have your phone connected to Exchange, you have to sign this policy that says, you know, we have the right to wipe your phone.
Are y'all doing MDM at all?
I don't know if we are or not, because I don't know what MDM is.
Mobile device management?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, there's the simplest level of that is that, yeah, that in order for them to be able to get – a common one is in order for them to get to be able to Exchange is able to push some stuff onto the phone that says you have to have a password.
Right, yeah, we're using that.
It has to be a certain number, like at least four or at least six numbers or whatever. You can wipe the device. There's certain stuff like that. But beyond that – some people have gone to a stricter version of mobile device management, because with Exchange, and maybe it's updated since the last time I looked into it, but back in the day with Exchange, all you could do was not wipe the phone or wipe the phone, and that was it. But with mobile device management tools, you can actually control what applications are on the device that are owned by the company or have some interest for the company, and you can... you can send a wipe that doesn't wipe the whole phone. It only wipes the portion of the phone that's controlled by the company.
We may be moving to that, but we're not that granular yet. But what we do is if you connect your phone to the Exchange, it puts the device into quarantine first, and it generates a ticket in our system so that we have to release it from quarantine. But we can have you sign a waiver and sign off on the policy before we allow access, and we force a six-digit PIN and all of that stuff. But what's interesting, and what I wanted to mention, what Barrett was talking about with Androids, is that our policy says that if it's an Android, we've subscribed to, I think we have a Symantec product for Android, so you have to run an antivirus on the Android, but you don't have to do it on an iPhone or a BlackBerry. That's how
you guys are still issuing BlackBerries.
We're a British-owned company.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So BlackBerries will never go away, ever. So yeah, so we recognize that Androids are prone to viruses more so than iPhones.
That's definitely true.
We force that out on them, although I don't know how effective it really is. But people are paranoid about our policy. Like, you can wipe my phone. Well, if it gets stolen or you leave it in the cab, we're going to wipe it. You don't have that data anyway. Or
you'll be asking us to wipe your phone if that actually happens.
Or you get let go and your phone just suddenly stops working and you had no clue, and now you've lost all your family photos from the last 4 years because you didn't back them up.
Well, that's what I have to tell them. Is like,
that's what they freak out about.
I know. That's what I tell them. I said, like, look, you know, it would be in your best interest, regardless of our policy, for you to back up your data. We're interested in getting our data off your phone if you leave, but we don't want to kill your photos. But if you're backing them up, if you have an iPhone and you run your backup, you're going to have everything back if we have to wipe it. So, you know, consider backing it up.
Most things go to the cloud.
But then
these days,
some people think we're spying on them. Some of the German users think that we're like prying into their
lives. That's just our government, not us. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, it looks like we got a call. So I'm going to give out the phone number again. 713-526-5738 as we take a trip down memory lane of Technology Bites. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air with us here in the first hour of our Technology Bites. Groove House.
Yes.
Who do we have?
Up next, it's Janae.
Janae, you're on the air with Technology
Bites. I'm next. Yay. All right. So I have a fairly new computer. Fairly. It's only like 4 or 5 months old. Okay. Not even. 4 months old. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, great. So the whole thing happened, I guess, last night. I had done some like pretty intensive word processing trying to make a flyer and a lot of like cutting and pasting. I don't know if that overloaded it or then I just, you know, finished with everything and was watching Netflix. And in the middle of my Netflix, it stopped, which I'm like, okay, where'd you go? And then it booted me off of the internet. And then my computer started really getting weird. Like the fan started like got like louder and it wouldn't respond to anything. So then I shut it down. And then I restarted this morning and I thought, well, I'll run the diagnostics. And I go down to the little button where you run the diagnostics and the HP support assistant, and I go to my PC and do the whole update thing, and it won't connect with that at all. It's just going in a little, the little pattern that it does when it's trying to work, but it's not doing anything, and I'm letting it do it for hours. I've been able to get back onto the internet, but it just seems to be acting weird. I don't know.
So you say it's only about 6 or 7 months old?
Yes.
Oh, are you running an antivirus on your computer?
Yes, I actually have the McAfee antivirus. Okay. Like, I bought the protection package. And it, should I go back and rerun that or
you
something?
You might want to go ahead and run a scan on it just to see if it sees anything. But if it's only 6 or 7 months old, you still have support through HP. And if you can't get online to do the support through the diagnostic tool, you can call HP support and have one of their technicians walk through and see if they can determine if there's something physically wrong with the computer. Like if the fan's spinning up real fast, what that's telling me is that the computer has got some process probably running on it that's causing it to heat up and the fan's having to kick in to cool it back down. But if something is running hard enough to cause the computer to be run hot, that it could be something malicious on the computer.
Okay.
The other thing too, if there some people as of late have had some issues with the HP support assistant not working and not being able to get downloads and giving. There's a specific error. But the other thing you can do, if you can get onto the internet, you can actually go out to the HP site or just Google for HP support assistant. You can download a new one, like a newer version of it, install that, and try running that. See if that doesn't actually, that can actually connect to the servers and make some.
Because
that's the thing, too. That happens in Linux every once. If it gets disconnected from where it's supposed to go get the updates, it can't go get the updates. You've got to just manually do it, and then it kind of gets it back in line. So do what Jay said first. But if, you know, make sure your system's clean. If your system's clean, go get the new HP support assistant.
Okay, and then the other thing you were talking about, if you have an Android phone, which I have the HTC One, and running, like, antiviruses on your phone, what would you suggest would be, like, one of the better ones to...
Are you running an antivirus on yours?
I am not, and I feel bad about saying that, but also my phone... I'm not, but I also don't do my phone's very worky, so it's like I have very few applications installed on there, and I don't really do a lot except for, you know, text and stuff on it.
AVG offers one for the Android phone as well as Avast. So, and they're free. You can try one of those out.
There was actually a talk at DEF CON this, you know, a few months ago, where some guys looked into the Android antivirus offerings, and it was pretty sad. Like, not that they didn't work at all, but they were just, most of them were fairly broken. And I don't remember, they looked at six or seven different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't remember from that talk because it was too long ago what they recommended as the most secure. But the like bottom ones on their list, if you installed it, it actually provided basically
ways
for hackers to get into your phone because the app was so poorly written.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to go off on this without, because I haven't really read up on this in a year or two, but you know, when I first looked at, you know, when the antiviruses first started coming out for Android, I was like, oh, wow, it's about time. And I went out there and I read up on them. And the one or two that I looked at and actually got down into the depths of, they weren't doing anything that I felt was of any value except for slowing down my phone. And, you know, like Flicked had said, also giving, because it's got a hook in at very low levels into the operating system, because it puts it kind of like, you know, think of it like opening up some windows or some window shades. The the same hooks that, you know, the antivirus needs to see if there's stuff in there can also let stuff get in there. It's kind of weird. That and also a lot of the stuff too. A lot of the exploits out there, they root your system in such a way that would exist below the antivirus software anyway, so they wouldn't be able to see it.
It sounds almost hopeless with the Android.
Right now, I hate that, but I still run Android. I still love Android, but yeah, it's just, you know, be careful. The main thing is don't sideload applications. Like, don't jump through any hoops to install an application that isn't through the Android Play Store.
That you got through some random website.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do that.
Because you wanted to get free music.
Yeah, and the other thing is just mainly too, like, when you install an application, just look at it, make sure it's like from a reputable source, like it's Microsoft or it's Google or it's Twitter or it's Facebook. You know, don't install a Facebook app that was written by someone in China. You know, just stuff like that. Nothing against our Chinese developers, but, you know, just along those lines.
All right.
Thank you so much, Simon.
All right,
thank you
for your call. Bye-bye. All right, taking the place of Pete's.
She'll soon have built-in tech support.
It's actually kind of sad to think, because, you know, when I get to talking about the vulnerabilities of the Android device, you know, nerdy people like Barrett owning an Android, the most danger he's in is just dropping it or, you know, leaving it.
I already broke my screen.
Oh, really?
Two-week-old Pixel.
Wow.
Oh. I'm going to be visiting iFixit fairly soon.
Ouch. What in the world?
The official arm of broken screens for Google.
Oh,
yeah.
Barrett.
It was a short drop,
I mean,
too.
Thanks for being consistent.
Yeah. Wow.
I will break my phone before any kind of software vulnerabilities come out.
You're not hacking this because it's broken.
But that's one of the things we don't talk about. We don't really talk about Android antivirus because it's, one, it's embarrassing to talk about, and two, there's, you know, it's just kind of a sad conversation.
Plus, to me, one of the big problems, and it's the same thing with Linux or pretty much any open source
operating system.
There's stuff that's very cool about it. I love open source. I use a lot of open source stuff, but at the same time, a lot of times it fractures, and so Android has a huge problem with fracturing, where like,
or forking might be a better thing, right?
Right.
People
don't upgrade or providers don't provide upgrades to the newest versions.
And Google's trying to get a handle on that, though.
Right.
They know that.
But that's the thing, is in the current environment, it's fractured. I don't mean forked, like somebody took Android and made something else based on Android, although that is part of it. But I'm saying that it's that because it's on a phone, companies aren't providing updates. And so what OSs exist and what's in those OSs
varies from phone to phone and provider to provider.
Yeah. And so it's hard to create an antivirus product that's going to work on every version.
We can take that to a different level. I mean, you talk about trying to interact with an Android phone. Every Android phone, because the provider is, or the manufacturer has made it their own.
Android allows them to. That's the danger of it. Android, you can do whatever you want to with it,
the user experience, it's like if you say, "How do I configure email on an Android?" Well, which Android? What operating system are you running? And people that I deal with, especially the Germans, they love their Android phones. They love their opens. They don't subscribe to Apple. They don't want to subscribe to Windows. They're running SUSE Linux and they have their Android phones. But they get upset with you because you don't know every incarnation of the phone to tell them how to do. I mean, you love it so much. Why didn't you learn how to use it?
That's a good question to ask.
You know, when someone calls in and says, you know, I need help configuring or I have an issue with my iPhone. First of all, rarely does the iPhone, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to be a fanboy here, but the reality is that the iPhone generally just works.
The iPhone limits your choices.
What's an appliance?
It limits
your choices, and so there's less options, and it makes it easier to control the experience. And as long as you're satisfied that the choices that you're given with an iPhone do what you want it to do, or you're willing to bend enough to fit inside that, it's very, very convenient.
Well, this goes to one of my biggest pet peeves about brand loyalty. Because if you're choosing Android because it's not iPhone, that's kind of weak. You know, if all the things...
Too soon.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, you're talking about the, yeah. Well, you know, much like the 2016 election. But you know, if you believe in it, if you really believe in the Android platform, be willing to embrace all of it and figure it out and protect yourself. But if you want to have a mobile experience that's consistent
but
and
don't
reliable,
talk about how you love it and how great it is,
just like
then
everyone else,
and then complain about it because you don't know how to do stuff.
Right. You know, but it's frustrating from a support standpoint because you know it could be different for everything. And BlackBerry's similar, you know, depending on the version of the BlackBerry OS, it can be frustrating as well.
Before we get too fanboyish and say Apple iOS can do no wrong, we've got two iOS support calls, and they're iPad support calls, which means they're like iPhone problems but bigger.
Okay. Well, let's find an excuse to bash on Apple.
Grr.
All right. Who do we have up next, Groovehouse?
All right, up next with an iPad question, it's Sherilyn.
Hi, Sherilyn. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello. It's an odd question. If I'm watching a movie or something on my iPad, for some reason the volume is too low, and I check every place that I can check for the volume, and it says that it's maximum, but it's not very loud. And then if I get an email, and of course that just kind of shows up in the top that one is coming through, then all of a sudden the volume increases.
On the movie?
No, yes. Just for the notification or on the movie, too?
Both? No, on the movie. Nothing from the notification, just the movie. The volume just spontaneously increases.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, I thought...
How are you getting your movie delivered? Are you watching it on the web or what?
Like a Netflix or a HBO, you know, just one of those.
One of those. So one of the streaming apps.
So it's like an app that's streaming the movie.
Correct.
And did it always do this on the iPad, or is it something new that started happening? And does it happen to both? Does it happen to both, like HBO Go and to Netflix?
It does. It happens. It happens on all of them. And
has it always happened?
Has it always been the case? I don't know that it has been, honestly.
Well, I know, like with HBO Go and Netflix, it might be worth your while just try reinstalling those apps.
So yeah, okay. I don't know if those apps have any kind of if the apps have volume controls on their own. There's also something, if you go into your settings on that, there is a volume limit where you can change the max volume of things. But I think the volume limit may only affect media, possibly. But check that.
It's a volume limit on the iOS?
I believe so, yeah. What's the current version of iOS right now?
10.1 or 10.2 or something.
I also don't have an iPad, I should say. But I've seen this.
I'm looking to see where that might be.
Aren't there multiple? Can't you go in and control like EQs for multiple aspects of iOS on the iPad?
Every place that I can, you know, either the manually on the side or into the
the hardware control on the side, and then there's usually a volume slider inside the app.
Yes, all are at maximum, and it's just barely audible, and then all of a sudden, I mean, what I start doing now is sending myself an email from my cell phone, so that the volume increases.
So your volume would go up.
What about, is this over the iPad speaker or with headphones or both?
The iPad speaker.
What, could you maybe try, like, putting in headphones and see if it behaves exactly the same with the headphones?
That
might give you an idea if it's maybe just something related to the speaker somehow, or if it's all volume.
Here's another thing to take a look at. I assume you're running the latest version of the iOS on your iPad.
Yes.
If you swipe up from the bottom to bring up that control pad that there is available there. Let's see. It says here that there's a control center in there, and you can swipe up from the bottom of your screen and drag the volume slider there. So if you have Netflix running...
Yeah, I do that, and it's on maximum.
Okay, but you are playing this through a Bluetooth or external speaker that's connected to it?
No, I'm just playing it from the iPad itself.
Yeah, I think Flick's idea of trying it with a headset and see if it does the same, you know, the earbuds or whatever, if it does the same thing, but also maybe just uninstalling the two apps and reinstalling them to see if you can get them to behave again.
Okay. Because it's a relatively new incarnation, I guess.
That sounds weird. I hadn't heard that one before, but it's intriguing, but I don't have an answer.
It looks like there is a max volume setting in iOS 10, too. I fixed this on...
Where do you see that?
It is. It's under... It's around the EQ. You get into the settings.
Settings.
EQ. And then there's a volume limit. I did this because I had someone at work that their volume wouldn't go up like they thought it would, and someone had cranked that down quite a bit somehow. Maybe one of their kids or something.
Do you have a step-by-step where you can go into settings and find it?
Let's see. So go to settings, and it's under music. So if you go to settings, music, and then scroll down, there should be a playback subsection.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then under there should be a volume limit.
There's a playback, and it says EQ, and it's off, volume limit, and it's off. But if you have volume limit turned on,
that
might be it.
That could be. That's just one of the things. Yeah, maybe. It's worth checking out.
I'll check it out, but that still doesn't explain the email part.
No, it doesn't, and that's what's frustrating. I don't get why the email would tip the app.
Like a banner notification or like whatever.
Whatever the notification says, you got a new message or you got a new
email. Volume to change. That's
but it, does the volume go back down immediately after the notification plays?
No. It's
She's been sending herself a message just to get the volume to go up. So
it sounds like poor programming. I don't know.
When's the last time you rebooted the iPad?
Oh, a long time.
You could try that too.
I would say hold the power button down until you get the swipe to turn off and just reset.
Forced hard reset. Hard reboot.
That would be worth it, I would say.
That solves most things. It does.
We'd be out of a show if everybody just restarted whatever.
I understand.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call this evening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, 713-526-5738. We are coming up towards the top of the hour, so we may have to ask. I'm thinking we're probably going to have to ask these people to hold.
If you look good, hang on for a second.
Let's go ahead and take this one call from Eula real quick, and we can put her on hold if we run out of time.
But all right, Eula.
Eula, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, thank you. I was calling to say that my iPad Air 2, I got locked out of. So I call Apple, and they're telling me that, after 48 hours, if you don't do... Because I did the thumbprint.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that was the safest way to do it, and it was the easiest way to do it. So I went thumbprint. And so now I'm locked out. So now they're saying that I have to download the iTunes app.
Onto your computer, and then reset it that way.
And reset it. Okay, so that is true. Or either go to the Apple.
Or go to the Apple. Go to the Apple Store and talk to them there.
I had a two-part question.
All right. Well, we're gonna What's the other part, real quick?
Okay. This is with.
Okay, we're gonna have to put you on hold for a minute. We have to take a short station break. We're gonna put you on hold. We'll come back to you after this.
Stay put.
Okay. Thank you.
So hold tight. All right. Well, this is Technology Bites. We're taking calls, 713-526-5738. We're going to take a break now, so we'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Rubals.
Yeah.
KPFT and the University of St. Thomas's Social Justice Committee invite you to a free public screening of the film adaptation of Naomi Klein's New York Times bestseller, This Changes Everything. The free screening will take place at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 1st in Anderson Hall on the University of St. Thomas campus. This film explores the greatest scientific challenge of our time, climate change. The film will not try to scare you into action, rather it aims to empower you. Provocative and compelling, This Changes Everything will refresh and inspire you to reflect on the ties between us all, the kind of lives we really want to have, and why the climate crisis is at the center of it all. Join us at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 1st at the University of St. Thomas in Anderson Hall for this free screening of a visually arresting, powerful film. For more information, check kpft.org. This Changes Everything is presented by the University of St. Thomas's Social Justice Committee and your community radio station, KPFT Houston.
KPFT, in partnership with many of our restaurant friends, has initiated the KPFT Foodie Card. KPFT members will get this card sent to them with each donation, or you can pick one up at the station. Present the card when you dine out at any of our participating restaurants, such as Pat Greer's Kitchen, Myth Cafe, Berry Hill in the Heights, and more, to receive special discounts. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
I like to eat. Eat, eat, apples and beninis. I like to eat, 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 apples and beninis.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. We now return to Technology Bites.
Apples and beninis. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. And if you were tuned in the last hour, you'll know that we were talking to Eula. And we're going to rejoin that call already in progress. Give it to us, Groovehouse. Hi. Okay, Yuli, you said you had a second part to your question.
Yes. I have a Bluetooth at my house. And I was listening to some music through the Bluetooth. And I was on Twitter. And I clicked on one of the tweets, and it had some type of, I guess French music or something. It was a GIF, and all of a sudden my Bluetooth went crazy, you know, and I tried to cut it off. I cut the Bluetooth off, and it was still playing. So I went in the kitchen and I unplugged it. It was still playing. So then I unplugged it back. It was still playing. And I'm like, what is this? Am I being watched?
I don't think you're being watched. I think you hit on a link that had some media and it's played it over your Wi-Fi from one device.
Was it Daft Punk?
I don't know what it was. French. And so I left it alone for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
The other day, yeah. I hooked it back up.
Did you put it in rice?
and I was in the bedroom, and all of a sudden I heard plunk, 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 doink, doink. And then the French music
It is Daft Punk.
And then what came on?
The French music came back on.
Yes.
Is it just a Bluetooth speaker, or what kind of Bluetooth setup do you have?
It's a Bluetooth speaker.
And it's connected to your iPad?
No, it was through my Android.
Through your Android. Okay, well, that's a virus. That's the French music virus.
And I'm like, what is this?
Well, it sounds to me like you hit some link that connected you to an audio stream of some kind. Uh-huh. I would just try restarting the phone, like we told the last caller.
It wouldn't just be a GIF, though, right? Because GIFs don't have
audio. They don't have audio.
Yeah, it'd be a little movie or something that got looped.
Like a little movie. Like, they'll make these short movies on Twitter.
Right.
Probably what's happening
is... It was music came out.
If you reboot the phone...
If you reboot the phone, it'll kill off that process.
It's in the background still. It's still playing. It hooks up to the Bluetooth speaker. It's sending it out. So, it's probably just a little nasty. Maybe, like, even a JavaScript. It could be, like, a JavScript ad on something. It could be something you don't want.
Could be a sign that you need to move to France.
Unless you like French music, in which case, you know...
Oh, mon ami!
Thank you.
Bonjour.
So much. I appreciate you all. Having fun.
All right.
Thank
have
you
a good
so
night.
Bye bye, Eula.
All right. Bye-bye. So I have a question then. So obviously, rebooting the phone will probably clear that up. Mm-hmm. And you know, reboots are everyone's best friends. On the iPhone, I know there's not a process monitor. Is there a process monitor on an Android?
Yeah.
Can you bring up a list? Like, well, on the iPhone, you could see on the iPhone you can double tap.
I don't know.
Well, and you can see all the and you can close out
always
axes.
Double tap.
Yeah.
Always double tap.
And then one to the chest? No, hold up. One to the head. No, who knows? I need to rewatch Zombieland.
But is there a way to, how do you pull
there
out
is.
Your...
So there's a couple different ways to do it. That within Android itself, if you go into settings, I don't know where I put my phone, I just realized. If you go into settings, has anyone seen my phone?
Wow.
Yeah, I think I lost
it's
my phone.
It's the broken one.
If you go in, has anyone seen a brand new Pixel phone with a broken screen?
Just run Find My Android.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a support desk I could call. So if you actually go in, you can see the running apps, how much memory they're taking up, how much storage they're taking up. It's just a really easy list. But because Android is pretty much, you know, it's Linux for all practical purposes, there are a number of, you know, add-ons to where if you get a shell, you can type in top. You can see everything. You can do ls-lah. You can do whatever you want to. And there are a number of good process monitors that I like to run because it gives you everything. You can do like kills. You can do a kill-9. You can, you know, whatever your little Linux heart desires, you can almost do on a Linux phone, which is one of the reasons why, because, you know, Linux has been out there for so long and it's not really easy. It's not super difficult to write malware for Linux. That's why there's so much stuff on, you know, on Android, because it's a true functioning computer that can do just about anything, including run malware. So, yeah, not great, but that's the lay of the land.
Man, it sounds like you're just really bashing Android tonight.
No, I don't mean to. Like I said, I still like it. But, you know, it is really cool because you can get down there. You can see process lists.
Like
you can see whatever you want.
Sounds like a toxic relationship.
I was happy to, you know, I had a Galaxy at one point, and I took great pride and pleasure in rooting it, and that was fun. But, you know, I'm more of an appliance user now, I guess. So you don't know where your phone is? You want to go back outside?
I might go look in the lobby. I'm not going to go all the way outside, but I'm...
Well, go out in the lobby.
Wow.
If you let's
wow,
all
gonna...
go to the lobby and find out Barrett's phone.
Let's all go to the lobby.
And find Mr. Barrett his phone. Did you just find it?
No, I feel like... Here it is.
He was sitting on it.
Is it still broke?
Is it still broke, or did your ass fix
the,
it?
The warmth of my chair has not repaired my phone.
So he was sitting on his phone, and we wonder
did
how...
Did you feel it vibrate? Because I sent you a text message a long time ago.
He thought that was the phantom vibration.
This is how I broke it, though. I've been putting this in my lap, and I put it in my lap, and then got out of a rental car, and it, you know, flew out of the rental car. Onto the ground.
So you decided instead of putting it on top of your lap, you'd
you
put
should
it under
find,
your lap.
You should go for the old school way of tethering.
Just the big super hip clip
yes,
on the belt.
You should tether yourself to the phone. At
or,
least
you know, you should use
buy a case.
Pockets in your pants.
To give you an, yeah, to give our listeners an idea of how ubiquitous Barrett dropping a phone is, randomly, I was driving down the street. I was driving down San Felipe.
Driving through Houston.
I was driving through Houston. Cynthia and I were driving down San Felipe. And I said, hey, that's Barrett. And Barrett, we didn't actually see it, but he had just dropped his phone.
Here's phone. That's Barrett dropping his phone. Hey,
you can't swing a dead cat without seeing Barrett drop
that
a
was,
phone.
That was somewhat long ago. And then before that, he like washed one in the washer.
That came back to life. I gave that. It was springtime nice. Fresh for a little while. I gave it to Dave of the show, thinking it was dead. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, oh, I just dried it out, came back to life. I'm like, that's not what you want to tell. That's like if someone gives you like their dead cat, don't say, yeah, the cat's fine living with me. It's like, well, I'm happy for the cat and the phone. I was under the impression I gave away a dead cat or a dead phone, you know, so I don't know. Whiskers, Mr. Whiskers,
not dead yet.
You still smell springtime fresh. I'm sorry I washed you.
Why can't I quit this phone? All right, 713-526-5738. We're having a good time getting some good calls. We appreciate it. Who do we have up next?
Up next, it's going to be Kirabel.
Kirabel, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, thank you very much. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Yeah, I have first a comment. I know why I chose Android than Apple.
Is it because you have an accent?
Like it's not fair to compare Apple and Android, because you can compare iOS and Android, but you can compare Apple and Samsung, but they're two different things. But however, I have Samsung S7, and I have some problems with it right now. And on the browser, it says, snap. No internet connection. And also right in the middle of it, it just keeps saying, unfortunately, Facebook has stopped, and then it will block it. And then after you use, unfortunately, Chrome has stopped. And all that It's been so annoying all day, and I don't want to factory reset it. I tried rebooting it. I tried to go. I went online and clear all data from Chrome and all the data, all the apps that have given me troubles. But still, it doesn't seem to be stopping.
Have you installed many apps on your phone?
I have a lot of apps because I use. I've been using a lot of. I have like at least like 60, 70 apps.
It could be that one of your apps, especially if it's one that fires up or runs when you start the phone, could be causing issues. I mean, that's just like any other computing device. If you have a poorly written application that's consuming system resources, it could be interfering with these other applications and causing the issue. Do you know of Wade Barrett to diagnose or?
No, I mean, usually when I get stuff like that, he's done what I usually do. Usually it's, you know, some cache has gotten a little bit, you know, misaligned. So I'll go and I'll clear the cache for the app. I'll try reinstalling the app. That's about all you can do. I mean, the last
fallback.
But what
about finding out if another app is running on the device that's causing issues?
Well, how often does it happen? I mean, that's the thing.
It just started like 2 days ago.
Do you have any recently installed apps that you could look at that might?
Yeah, it's not recently installed apps. I had a problem with my phone. I broke my phone and I sent back my old phone and they sent me a new one with my insurance. And when I tried to download it like a day ago, like I said, when I tried to download all the apps I had from my old phone to a new phone, that's when this happened.
Oh, so it's okay.
So when you restored it from from your backup or were these apps?
Like cloud,
I stored it from my Google, Google account. I didn't because it was broken. I wanted to directly transfer my data from my old phone to my new phone, but my old phone is broken, so the screen is not working. So I couldn't unlock it. So because of that, I had to use my Google account to download all the apps and my message and my pictures.
They gave you the exact same hardware. So what phone did you have before? Or what
the
phone do you have now? The S7. Okay. The Edge 7, you said? EDGE? Or
the
S?
The
S7. S7, okay.
S7. Samsung Galaxy S7.
Okay.
But it was the same phone.
It was the same phone before, too. It's not like...
It was the same phone. And everything was the same phone. They gave me the same, even with color, too. And I like Androids. I had both. I have a tablet for Apple, and I like Android. Androids I get to customize it myself. And Apple, I feel like, and it's fast. What I like about Apple, what I like about iOS is, you can tell that it lasts long. When it comes to Galaxies, when you come to Android, you know that there's going to be a problem, but there's going to be a lot of information, and it's going to lag a little bit, but you know that you can customize it with your own way. But Apple-wise, I feel like they don't let you do things. They just put everything on it, and you have to adapt their own way.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Android, you can adapt yourself into there. So if you use one person Android to another person Android, it's completely different.
Well, that's like some people are good at that, and some people aren't good at that. So it depends on it definitely depends on your skill sets and what you're willing to put up with. But in the situation that you have right now, you've got all these apps that you've downloaded. What are your
Do you know what Android version you're running? If you just got the phone, one of the things I would do is I would go check your Android version and then also go into settings and check under system updates. Have it checked to see if there is another update out there. They might have shipped you something.
It's 6.01, so I'm pretty sure it's the latest one, right?
Well, you should check anyway. I don't know what the version is.
And that's still, like, I'm running 7.1 right now. So, I mean, that's a full version back if you had on a Galaxy 7.
Okay.
And I want to say I heard that Galaxy 7 both the 7s, the 7 and the Edge 7, they're both taking Nougat updates, which is the Android 7. So if you can get a hold of that, that's what you want, because that might improve your overall experience just by getting a whole new version of the OS on there.
Definitely, that would definitely.
But here's the thing: so if everything you had on there worked before on your old phone, it's not on the new hardware. It's to me, it's one of two things: either they gave you a bad piece of hardware, which is possible, but usually the whole thing will either work or not work. You don't see weird things with connectivity here and there, or they might have shipped you a phone that, for whatever reason, it sat, you know, on a shelf waiting to go out for an insurance call for a while, and it's got an older version of Android on there. So definitely see if you can get a newer version on there, because, like I said, the Galaxy S7s are cleared for Android 7.0. As of just a couple days ago. So
you're definitely right. And one last thing, what I like about this Galaxy 7, their fast charger. It's so good.
That's nice. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's like a life-saving. You charge it for 15 minutes, and it's like 35, 40%. And that's like really for a busy person like me. And really, I used to like Apple because of their battery. The battery used to last. But now with this fast charging, and I'm so happy with their battery. And this Galaxy S7 was the last one I had, and I love it.
Yeah, there are a couple of phones that are doing that now. I've got the Pixel, and this is the first phone that charged. It would kick into quote-unquote fast charging mode before, but really that was like not super slow charging mode, you know, where it take like half a day to charge the phone. But yeah, you're right. Like even 35, 40% in 10 or 15 minutes is a day saver. You know, that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, man. Yeah, for seeing all the cracks in Android, you still sound pretty chipper and happy about the whole prospects. That's good.
Yeah, I'm still happy about it. I'm still going to continue Samsung. I don't like LG. I don't like any other HTCs and everything. I like Samsung. I can compare Samsung with Apple, but I feel like Android and iOS should be compared, not Apple. And the fact is, if you want iOS, you can only go to Apple. You don't have any other choice. Mm-hmm. But if you want Android, you have all other choices, LG, Samsung, and everything. I feel like that's a little more like American. You know, you have more choices.
Well, it's also, as long as you're willing to support yourself.
Well, it also lets people choose bad handsets. It lets people, you know, like you, you've got a really nice phone that's going to, you know, nice processor, nice screen. It's going to run for a while. But people can also go out there and buy like a gingerbread handset.
You saw what happened the last time America had a choice.
they said that Apple is an American brand. And a lot of people get Apple because they want to feel like American. It's like, this is just American. It's not American to get an Android.
Well, we're making them in China, but, you know, whatever. Don't just look the other way.
All right, well, good luck. I hope you get it sorted out.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Thanks for the call. All right, well, that was fun.
Happy Android user.
Happy. I mean, it doesn't work. It's freezing up, but I love it because it's American. God bless the USA.
And their Chinese-made hardware. Although they're talking about, wasn't that one of the things they want to bring manufacturing back? We talked about that. Pete talked about that a week or two ago.
It wasn't that they wanted to,
Trump wanted them to. Well, I wouldn't mind. People will pay, you know, $2,000 for an iPhone, $2,500 for an iPhone, I'm sure.
It's just like boudin or most processed meats. You don't really want to think about the backstory and how it's made. You don't want to know how the sausages are made. Don't think about your phone too much. The fact that you could, it's $800 for a brand new iPhone, subsidized on a plan, gets it down to about half, but you bring the manufacturing back to the United States, and you're going to be thinking $800 is a good deal on a phone, and it's not going to be a good deal. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe this whole thing will, something else will happen.
They could cut their profit margins a little bit too.
Oh no, that's not American.
That's true.
It's not. That's one thing about, you know, the economic downturn earlier this decade. A lot of businesses downsized and, you know, laid people off, and then when the economy started going back up, they didn't upsize again because they realized that they could run.
We can do more with less. Yeah.
And now that the economy's coming back, we're making even more money,
more profit. That seems to be, you know, I guess it's kind of always been the American. It's capitalism.
Yeah,
I mean that's just kind of how capitalism works. Capitalism and consumerism just kind of looks for making money.
Although during the downturn, my thought to myself was like, getting to keep your job is your raise. You want a raise? You're still hired. That's your raise. I think it's turning around a little bit, or has been over the last few years, that it didn't feel like, you know, that I was just lucky to have a job. There was a time that, you know, about 5-6 years ago, that was just like, I'm just lucky to be employed.
During the 20s.
The Dust Bowl.
Back the cheese and bread lines. I remember having to stand in a cheese line to get my iPhone.
There's a line for cheese?
Where's Dwight?
Sign me up. Where's Dwight? Somebody said there was a line for cheese.
He's probably already in line.
Oh, I don't camp out for iPhones, but I'll camp out for cheese.
I would carry an American-made phone. Like, if we actually started making phones here, I probably would buy one just because it was made here. I think, like, dropping a wooden plexiglass phone wouldn't break like this thing here that I've got, all the small, intricate pieces in the glass.
handcrafted.
Carved of wood.
Handcrafted internet for you.
3D printed.
Look at this, Jeff.
Strange it's, French it's a, music comes on.
It's a bespoke phone.
It's an iPhone Elodium.
You're so steampunk.
You laugh, man, but there's a very large untapped hipster community that would buy a lot of wooden phones. For different reasons than I would, but yeah. That'd be awesome. A little steam-powered Calliope that plays.
With a bellows.
Wind up your iPhone, boys and girls. We're going to show you something special.
Got a wood-burning phone. Well, there goes. We were gaining some greenhouse gains, but whatever. You know, wood-burning phones. I'll burn some coal to stay connected on Twitter.
Bring back coal jobs.
Coal phone.
Coal phones.
Coal the phone.
Coal call.
Just a second. I'm getting a text and like handing you little cards. It's a video, so you have to put it in the little spinning thing and like hand spin it.
Look through the special glasses.
It's an animated GIF or GIF.
It's in 3D. All right.
Are you guys finished doing the show? I've got an industry to jumpstart.
We're bringing jobs back.
I'll bring the money back in my dirigible.
I'm going to go around the world in 80 days. 713-526-5738. Got a call in the queue. Saw somebody trying to dial in, but they gave up because we were laughing so hard.
It's
okay.
All right.
That's all right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites, the new steampunk version of the show.
Steam powered.
All right, Groovehouse.
We're going to have a pump grinder organ.
Well, you know,
section.
We are kind of using retro technology.
Are we?
We radio? Are in here.
We're on radio.
Yeah.
Heard around the world.
And all the ships at sea. All right, Groovehouse.
I need my telegraph attachment. Dee-dee-dee-dee.
My computer's running slow.
That's
stop.
As obsolete as, yeah, that's like Apple in their headphone jack. You don't need those.
Oh, that's old-timey.
Yeah.
Headphone jacks. Ha! All right. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Joan.
Joan, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Okay, speaking on phones, about 2 weeks ago, I unplugged my Panasonic from the power source, the bar, and also from that little plate on the wall, we stick the little square plastic wiry thing in.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
RJ11.
Okay, when I plugged it back in, the plug where it came out of did not work. Now, I unplugged something from the computer above it, and now something there is making a noise, but it won't turn on. It does red when I hit them. I've forgotten what you call that big box. But anyway, is that what I need to know is I live in an apartment complex. Is that their problem or the phone company's?
Well, if you live in an apartment complex, there's a problem with the phone line. It's probably going to be it's a combination because as a homeowner, if you have problem with your wiring, you're responsible for that. But as a renter, it'd probably be the apartment complex.
When you say Panasonic, is that like a Panasonic cordless phone or a Panasonic computer? What is a Panasonic?
It's a hardwire.
It's a phone? Okay.
And a power bar worked fine, and half of it worked. But I couldn't get a dial tone. That was
There's
no
dial tone. You might have just.
I got the idea to unplug the wire that I think goes to either the computer or the scanner or printer. I don't know what it goes to.
Well, the RJ11 thing, there's only one thing that's going to fit that. So just make sure it's in there all the way. And if you're still not getting a dial tone, I would maybe go down to the leasing office and just let them know you're not getting a dial tone. And they'll say, yeah, we can send someone up and fix it, look at the wiring. Or they'll say, hey, call the phone company.
Thank you.
But they should let you know.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call.
Good night.
Good night. All right. Wow, phone lines are lit up. So Groovehouse is screening our calls.
Should we just...
Anna, it was a hardwired phone call.
A hardwired phone. Call to Technology Bites about my phone, you know.
Not calling us on the Panasonic.
Kids today, it's not like a get-off-my-lawn comment, but kids today actually do like wonder how people managed. Like, you mean you had to go home to check...
I wonder how we managed. How did you find people out in the real world?
Did you just, like, carry your phone with you?
No.
We had really long cords. Really long cords.
I remember in the 70s that I did find I came across a spare phone, like a rotary dial phone. So I had the handset and the cord. And I'd drive around with that thing to my head, you know.
In the car phone?
In the car, like it was a car phone.
Visionary.
Yeah. I mean, they kind
of... Spaceman. Future man.
Future man. He came from the future to save us all in his time. 1974 yeah, when I was, Plymouth Valiant.
Time traveler.
When I was in college at some point, I thought it was funny. Like, we had corded phones in each dorm room, and so I took the handset with cord, and I just... And this was before people really had cell phones, really, to speak of. And I put the cord in my pocket, and then I walked around talking on the phone on campus.
The mistake was putting it in the pocket. You're not going to get a connection there. You got to go.
The coolest piece of mobile technology I've ever owned was I had one of those answering machines where you had the little battery tone generator that you could call your house from a cell phone, or not a cell phone, from a payphone or somebody else's phone. And when the answering machine kicked in, you took this thing and cupped it onto the mouthpiece of the handset and pushed the button, and it played a tone that caused the answering machine to go into playback mode so you could play your messages back to you.
See, I had those. It was probably a little later because when it answered, you could enter a code.
Yeah, but it didn't have that.
I would assume the tone generator was probably the same tone for all those answering machines. To where if you knew someone else that had the same answering machine, you could just go get all the answers, all the messages you wanted to.
Yeah, later in life, they had the push button phones. You could put in the number, and it would respond to that. And it was fun, you know. But now this was like this device that you had to keep, you know.
It's like the old Zenith remote that looked like a electric razor that actually was like radio tone, like you could actually hear it buzzing when you clicked it to like send a radio signal to the TV to get it to change channels.
That was ahead of the time. I moved up to like a Logitech eHarmony, or just maybe it's just called Harmony. I've got no idea. One of the things. eHarmony may be something different.
I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know. It's eHarmony and Chill or Harmony and Chill.
Check your connections today.
And I've had remotes that have not been light-based, like infrared-based before, which most are, but I still feel compelled to point it towards the device I'm trying to control, even though it doesn't matter anymore. It's pure RF.
The Harmony remote I have, you do have to point at it.
This one is so it goes to a base station, and then the base station has an IR remote that I then point at other devices. So it still controls IR devices, but me communicating to the Harmony base station, RF.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter. Do you want to take a call?
All right. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
All right. Up next, we're going to speak with Fabiola.
Fabiola, you're on the air with Technology Bites. Yes,
how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you for what you guys do for us that don't know much about computers.
Well, we're happy to do it.
Yes. I have an iPad, and, you know, it asked me about 2 weeks ago if to upgrade it, and I said yes, and then it did. Well, it locked, and it's asking me for the Apple ID and the password.
Okay.
The problem is, I purchased this in a pawn shop, so I don't have the original Apple ID nor the password.
Well, Apple, you can sign up for your own Apple ID. You can create your own with Apple.
Well, what happened is because it's asking for the original.
Oh.
But do you have data on there that you want to get off? Can she...
Well, no, the problem is because it's locked to the original owner's Apple ID.
Right.
So, and chances are, if it was bought at a pawn shop, you know, you're not going to find the original owner. And I had a situation like that where one of my coworkers left the company, but he had the iPad locked down with his ID, and we gave the iPad to someone else, but we had to contact the former employee to get they can log into their account and release the device. But I don't know if there's a way to get past that, because even if you want to sell.
See, I think Apple's gotten to the point where they've gotten pretty aggressive about that, and it used to be really easy to bypass those protections and get around it. But I think at this point, with a 9 and 10, I think it's pretty difficult, to maybe impossible to get around that.
Well, the genius part. So is this an effort for them to curb like thieves, or is it to make people not be able to resell Apple devices?
If you go to upgrade your device, say you want to sell your device, they'll tell you turn off Find My iPhone, and that disconnects it from your Apple ID. So if you're legitimately selling your phone or your iPad and you want somebody else to be able to use it, you turn off that before you reset it, and then you reset it and wipe all the data and off it goes. So it's very difficult. I don't know of a way to get past it because this other guy, until we found the original owner and had them disconnect it, that was all we could do. So your only the only chance you have is probably going to the Apple store. But my fear, if you do that, is that they if they have it, I don't know if they have a registry or whatever. If it turns out that the device is stolen, then they might reclaim it.
I don't know if the pawn shop. I hate to say take it back, but the pawn shop should have given you.
They won't take it back. They won't take it back. I don't think.
If they're taking those, they should. I don't know. I would have a pawn shop. I'd say, hey, make sure it's unlocked.
They
probably don't even know that the owners of the pawn shop may not even know that that's a security feature.
Well, if you were using this device, and in the past, at some point, you went into settings and you saw what that iCloud account ID was. Then
you can email it.
Email the iCloud account and ask them. And if they read the email for that account, then they could say, oh, you're the thief that stole my iPad? Or they could say, oh, yeah, I sold it at the pawn shop. Oh, man, sorry about that. Let me try to, fix it. But if you don't know what that iCloud account.
I don't I was using it for some time, but it didn't happen. I was able to use it. I know it kept asking for an Apple ID, but I just ignored it because, I don't know much about it, so I just kept using it. And I don't have no pictures or nothing, and I just, I was just using to Google, read information, or read the documentary, that's it.
Right.
Well, when it asked me to update it, I said, well, I know all the, technology needs to update, so I pressed yes. And after that, the app is locked since then. So there is no solution for it?
Let's see. I'm just looking to see if somebody offers up a suggestion on.
It's. I get why they're doing that. I would not like to own a piece of hardware where I couldn't do a full on hard reset if it was in my hand.
I was looking online. It says here's a question. I manage a pawn shop and we reset Apple iPad to factory settings. Now it says the owner has used Find My iPhone to link their ID. I do not have the owner's Apple ID, but I do have the password, and have no way to get a hold of the owner. What can I do? And the answer is there's nothing you can do without the original owner, the person who locked the iPad assisting you. You cannot contact any, you cannot use the iPad. You might want to, go another route, but I don't know that there's a way past it. There might be a way to connect it to iTunes on a computer and reset it, but
able to do that.
That was
a trick where you could, if you hooked it up to a computer, you could bypass all that and reset it. But that's not true anymore. Because now when you hook it up to the computer, it actually asks you to enter the password and stuff before it will do any of that. So hooking it up to a computer won't fix it anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I did that. Because it was on YouTube, some kind of video to show you how to unlock it, which I tried, but it did not work. It still asked me for the Apple ID.
Probably worked with earlier versions, but it doesn't work with this version, unfortunately.
Right. Do you guys have a store or a shop that I can go and see if you can help me out and hook it up or not?
I don't know of a place that'll do it. The only place I know that could possibly get into it would be the Apple store.
Okay.
I would call them. Can you? You can just call up and ask. Yeah. Can't you? Do they have phone support for free?
You can call the Apple store. You can, if you go on. Let's see if you. Apple store chat. See, I think they have a chat service online. Contact us. How to Apple?
Oh, we've got a phone number too. If you call 800 my Apple.
My Apple?
Uh-huh. 1-800 my Apple, 7 a.m., 10 p.m. Central Time. They'll at least be able to tell you, like, hey, we can unlock that. We can help you with that. Or, no, it's against our policy to do that.
Or they'll say, no, you called my Apple, and evidently it's not your Apple.
Well, you know what? I can tell them, they need to deal, or tell the conscience not to resell them or do some kind of, so people don't know.
No, they don't know. And it's, I know there's legitimate reasons. And I mean, I had a guitar in that I pawned, and I paid more than the guitar was worth to maintain it in pawn, but it was a service and it was something I needed at the time to have that money loaned to me. And that was my guitar, and I eventually got it back. But I do know that, people sell stuff. And somebody could have legitimately sold that iPad and just didn't know.
Or legitimately pawned it and then couldn't pay it back, lost it, and said, well, I'm not going to mess with it.
Right. So and people don't know enough to turn that feature off. I wasn't aware of it until I was looking at getting my new iPhone, and I kept seeing that if you want to
return your old one, you have to turn that off.
Otherwise, it makes it useless to them. There's no value in the resale.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate for me because, you know, I purchased it. I didn't, you know, steal this thing. I purchased it, but
I mean, you can try going back to the pawn shop.
You could go back to the pawn shop and ask them if there's any way they can put you in touch with the person who sold it to them.
Or if they can contact the person that they got it from.
Right.
And see if they can release it.
But yeah, tell them you're effectively locked out of it. There are two parts to it these days. You're buying hardware and software, and the software is, you know, it's not quite yours yet.
It's unfortunate.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Appreciate your help.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for your call. All right. Well, people are being very nice tonight.
Yes.
You know, and it's been an iPad, iPhone.
Now you jinxed it.
Yeah. 713-526-5738. We are accepting your calls tonight for the reintroduction of the phone-in version of Technology Bites. It's exciting. We hope that people are getting the help they need and are hoping that they're so excited by all of this that they'll contribute during the next fundraiser and revitalize our spirit and our belief in ourselves. And maybe we've found our way after being lost.
Revitalize our community spirit.
Yeah, because we love the community. You guys are awesome. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air tonight. I'm so used to saying that to make your pledge, but now it's about being on the air. So you've got a couple calls in the queue. So who's up next, Proofhouse?
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Kenneth.
Kenneth, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how you doing, man? I got a CPU question. I run an old Xeon workstation that's a single processor running Linux. I was wondering, if I rebuild and build me a dual processor Xeon, will I get twice the speed, or is it pretty much true that most apps only let you use one of the processors when you make a...
It depends on what you're doing. Honestly, now, it's like Xeon used to be, you know, super awesome and really good in the server world, but now you can go out, you know, and your average Intel chip, like your sweet spot, not expensive Intel chip, has 8 cores on it. Which Linux is going to be able to use and spin up all of them. So I would, you know, unless you just want to go pay a Xeon premium, I would just, you know, go get like I guess you're probably, let me ask you this. Are you trying to stay with your same main board? Are you just trying to get rid of the chip?
No, I would have to change the board. I was just trying to, I do a lot of multitasking. I mean, I have 15 things going on. I increased the RAM and I haven't had time to play with it, but I was thinking about building and hoping I could get twice the speed.
Well, you won't get twice the speed, but if you have the way that the software, the operating system is designed is it may say send one task to one processor, another task to a different processor. So it can do that. You will see it, depending on the kind of load you're putting on the computer, you could see an improvement in performance.
Yeah, as long as the software you're using can
recognize,
split across cores, or if it's one process, if it can thread and thread across cores. Or if you're doing multiple things and the OS can split them across the cores, then you could see speed improvements because it's like, you know, it's running on multiple different systems at the same time, in essence. But, you know, if it's just the OS by itself, you're not going to see, you know, double the thing because the OS running as a monolithic piece is not going to split all of itself up, right? So the only way you're going to get double the speed, on something like that is if you double the speed of the processor that's in it.
Yeah, I mean, my point was that, you know, you talk about dual processors. That was a big thing back when processors had one core, and to get multiple cores, you had to add more than one chip. Now that you can get multiple cores in a chip, like, you know, you can go in, you know, for instance, Linux, you know, you can go and you can get like an AMD chip that has 8 cores, and you type in top, and you hit one, and you'll see 8 different CPUs, discrete CPUs, show up with different loads on all of them, and Linux handles it.
It's like having
the same way as it would with 8 different chips.
Yeah,
only the bus, you got
it's
the same
like
bus.
It's like having
two separate
processors.
Okay.
It's just that they advanced enough where they didn't actually have to stick two processors, physical processors that are separate parts next to each other. They actually reduced it to the point where they could actually put multiple processors on the same die, on the same chip.
Oh, okay, and the nice thing with this, too, is the
problem. All I need is to just give me a newer processor with, like, 8 cores.
Like a quad core.
Yeah, quad core, 8 cores. Like, we built some NAS stuff with some 8-core Athlons. If you're going to go ahead and get a whole new board and everything else, just make sure the RAM, if you want to keep it the same RAM, works. But, okay. Yeah, you'll notice a bit of a difference there. And like I said, there's no reason to have those chips apart. Like, it's actually faster with everything on the same die because the memory channels are faster, shared memory's faster, they can communicate a lot faster.
Oh, okay. Thank you, man.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun with the home build.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. Wow.
Homebrew Computer Club.
Yeah.
Keeping it real. Keeping it 713. Keeping it Unix.
Can you hand me my punch card? Pretty please.
I got a stack of them.
So, I'm, you know, just to take an interlude here, I'm watching this show on broadcast television, which is called Timeless, which is about time travel. And it's hokey. It's okay. But it's cool in that they keep going back to these different periods of time and you get to, like, you know, they're doing a historical reenactment and it gets you thinking about stuff. So the one this week was they went back to the Apollo moon landing and
the soundstage.
Yes, the fake moon landing. No, they went to, and it looks like they actually shot it in Mission Control for the Apollo 11. Like they lit up the screens and they did some modifications to make it look like it was actually working. But they were hacking mainframes, so they're feeding tape into the mainframes, and they had the villains had created a virus that caused us to lose contact with the lunar lander after it landed on the moon. And the heroes had to write some code that had to be fed back in. Since, you know, the woman was talking about, yes, this thing has 4 megabytes of memory. And they said, how long is it going to take to download this or upload this file? Said, about 5 minutes. Fast, right?
Do you think it had 5 megs back then? I thought it was more along the lines of 5K for a program.
I don't remember what the size was, but it was some ridiculously low size.
Really, to mess with the whole module, all they had to do was probably just like put a couple of extra random punches in one of the cards, and that's K. enough to topple it over.
All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air. Groovehouse, who's up next?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Wayne.
Wayne, you're on the air with Technology Bytes. How can we help you?
Good evening, guys. My CPU is running at like 100%, and it has for a long time, even when I turn it off, reboot it, and come up. And I remember, long-time listener, I made the backup disk for this thing, and you always recommended maybe putting your old backup disk in it that I made when I first got the computer.
Well, reloading the system, possibly, but that's a kind of a scorched earth.
I'd be curious to see what's running at 100%. You can actually go in and see if there's like one program or one background thing or what it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at resource overview.
Yeah, task manager and then the processes tab. Is that where you are?
Yeah. Well, it's got the CPU, disk, network, and memory. And right now it says the SVCHOST.exe.
Service host or the SVC. That's unfortunately generic. A generic wrapper around some other process.
Process for Windows.
Yeah, what's the percentage that one service host is using up?
That one's sucking up 47%, and then Google Chrome is the next one at 12.
But it's actually pegging out at 100%?
Yeah, but it's like 99%. Right now it's saying 100. It's just sitting here looking
at SVC host is probably taking up whatever Slack proc that he's got.
Well, you
but
know,
it's hard to tell what's in there.
It's going to put a damper on my day. But have you scanned for spyware?
Oh yeah, no. I've got malware bytes in there, and I have Hitman Pro.
Okay,
so,
good,
you know,
good.
All paid.
All right,
always had it. So it's not a. It's not a. I mean, I can't say 100%. 99%.
Yeah,
malware bytes,
you can be relatively confident it's probably not malware, so that's good. Whew. All right, so you must have something. Now, this happens even after a reboot and after you've restored?
Right.
Okay.
Immediately? Does it immediately peg back at 100%, or does it take 5, 10, 20 minutes?
Now, one of the processes isn't system idle, right, adding it up to 100%.
I mean, it goes 45, 12, 10, and then malware bytes is running at 8.13%, and that it has a
are you seeing actual performance issue with the computer? Is it bogged down? Is it slow?
Oh yeah, it's ever since it started this, you know, I feel like I'm back on dial up with Netscape.
If you shut down Chrome, which is taking a decent amount of resources, what fills that space up?
Well, I really can't shut down Google Chrome right now because I got some stuff saved in here and I don't want to lose it.
Okay. Well,
how many tabs do you have open?
What all do you have Chrome opened up to?
It's that one service host I don't like. That 47%.
Now, the problem with the service host is it's a generic wrapper around some other process, and it gets really hard to find out. Let me see. There's a tool. There's a process viewer, or let me see if I can find it. I hadn't looked at it in a while, but there's a small app that you can run. Process Explorer.
I have also another event viewer open, and all I have is criticals and warnings up at the top and errors.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how old is the computer?
It's a 2007 Vista, 2008.
So it's running Windows Vista?
Yeah.
That's a pretty old install of your software, too. So, what do you got?
Task list?
No, there's one called Process Explorer. If you Google search Process Explorer, but it'll give you good information if you know what you're looking at, but that's still not going to necessarily help you there. How long has it been doing this?
About 2 months, 3 months.
You could try using System Restore to go back if you have a restore point from 3 months ago or so and see if that gets you.
Was starting to act a little flaky, and I bought one of those 3-terabyte freaking backup hard drive units. Because I thought this thing was going to die on me.
Yeah.
So it's got a restore point. Everything past there, I don't care about. So I do have that.
You don't have any active like monitoring software that's like updating your backups every time you change a file or anything like that. Did you install any?
No, I didn't do any changes to it at all. It just started doing this all of a sudden. And I've kind of played around with it. I don't know much about the software, and I understand specs on hardware, and that's about it.
I mean, if you can back up all your data and get everything, a refresh on a Windows machine every few years is never a bad idea.
That's true, but if you've got a backup from a while back that you could run, or if you get the original install disks and you can reinstall everything, it will breathe new life into the computer, but it's a pretty involved process. If you're running a computer that's, you know, designed and built around the Vista operating system.
You think all those drivers are still out there?
They probably are, but you know, you have to think about how much time and you want to spend on this. I mean, if you go out and this is an old conversation, but it comes back into play here. Is, you know, it might be worth your while to consider a hardware refresh. Maybe get one of the newer computers and enjoy life in the modern age, because the computers that are built today are going to run circles around that computer.
Actually, before this started acting up, you know, all I do is check emails, chit chat, stuff. I mean, it was plenty fast for the little bit I do on the computer.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I mean, if you're just using it for email and that kind of stuff, back up your files, consider doing a reload, and see what you get. I mean, you certainly breathe new life into the system.
So those three backup disk that I made when I first got it that first day, just put those in there and let it go?
Well, if you put those in there and you boot up, I guess the first one you're going to have to boot from it. So you have to start up the I don't know how the backups. Well, who makes the computer?
It was a Hewlett Packard, and they recommended burning some disks because they don't give you the operating system. And I burned three disks after 8 hours. And I set them off to the side, and they're still safe.
Assuming that they're still good, you should be able to put the first one into the CD drive on the computer, restart it, and then do the selective startup to boot from CD, and then boot from there and follow the menus, and it will wipe everything off the hard drive and put the original software back onto the computer.
Okay. We'll try that. Yeah, ever since Hal PC closed,
I know.
I've got to learn this stuff.
Yeah, it's unfair, but that's life in the tech age.
Yeah, well, I'll try it, and y'all going to have questions and answers next week? I'll give you a feedback.
Yeah, you break stuff.
It looks like we'll probably be with Q&A again next week, sure.
All right, well, you'll be getting a fuzzy pizza one of these days if this thing fires up good.
I hope that's the brand and not the state of the pizza.
That's a brand, not what I've had in my house.
That pizza been under the table for a little while. It's kind of been a fuzzy.
Pizza's as old as a computer. It's fine.
This pizza's running Vista, too.
It's a Vista pizza.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to
call. Got about 10 more minutes.
Ten more minutes of the show, one call in the queue.
And no Barrett time.
And no Barrett time.
Because there's not time, because we've been taking so many excellent calls. And also because I didn't write one.
Oh.
Mainly door number.
Well, if we're going to go back to our old ways.
I'll tell you what, I will step it up, and if, you know, I'll bring it back. Let's do this.
It's funny, you know, technology bites have a nostalgia. And, you know, Inception nostalgia. Because it's one thing to go on here and talk about how things were before the show. Talk about things that existed during the show.
We're fully looping now, yeah. We're recursing back onto ourselves.
Acknack. All right.
Love that movie.
Groovehouse, who do we have next?
Acknack. Up next, it's Bill.
Bill, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Okay, hi, guys.
Hi.
I have a iPhone 6S, and I have a MacBook Air, and I've been getting, it looks like adware. On my calendar, all of a sudden, there's an ad that shows up, and I don't know where it's coming from.
There's a thing that I have noticed where, is the ad, is it a, it's in your calendar, is it like an event? That's a link to an advertisement?
I noticed that there's a message that says about some sale at some store.
Okay, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's in my calendar.
Right, okay, so here's the deal. There's this weird Mac spam that's going around. It's been hitting my computer.
It's a feature.
Is it iCals? That's crafty.
It's a feature.
That's pretty crafty.
What it does is it emails to your iCloud account, right? And if your iCloud accounts by default bypass your email and go straight to the app to your calendar. So what you want to do is you want to go to www.icloud.com. And log in with your iTunes username and password.
Apple ID, whatever.
Your Apple ID, yeah. Are you following?
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right, so when you go there, let me get logged into mine. If you go there, you'll see all the icons for things like your calendar, Find My iPhone, and all of that. And if you click on calendar, and then you go down and you click on the little gear down in the lower left-hand corner and go to preferences and then go to advanced. There's an option, and this is actually going to be in my column this next week. There's an option that says receive event invitations as in-app notifications or email to your personal email address if you have that tied to your account. And then it gets dealt with by your spam filters if you change it to email. It's really sneaky, and chances are all of mine have been coming from China.
I get why you'd maybe think of that as a feature and why you'd want to build that in, because maybe some people aren't on, like, Exchange, and they just want, you know, notifications and calendar events and whatever to pop up on there without them having to do anything. Well, right. But that's just a bad idea to process
Google
things.
Google does that, too. Gmail does that also.
Yeah, I've noticed Gmail before does recently, it'll say, like, hey, now, you've got a flight
it's
coming
a new,
up.
It's a new feature where Gmail and Apple both, like, when an email comes in, it scans to look if there's dates and times or a calendar invite.
It'll
automatically add it to your calendar.
It does that to, like, when I make flight reservations.
There's a way to turn it off, I think, but by default now, the way it behaves is it will do that. It will add stuff to your calendar.
Right, and that's what you're getting here. So if you somebody, you know, they discovered your iCloud address, which most people don't even know they have one. But with your iTunes ID, you have an at iCloud.com.
Just blanket address. All of them, really, is probably what they're doing.
Yeah, that
you know.
Probably is. So if you go to iCloud.com, click on your calendar, go down and click on settings and go to advanced, you can change receive event invitations from in-app notifications to email. And that should clear that up for you. You can delete them out of your calendar once you get that done, and that shouldn't bother you anymore.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Thanks for answering calls.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Cool. That's funny because I kept getting them. Like every few days, I would get the little notification on my iMac that says event invitation, and it was something, some kind of Ray-Ban sunglasses and some Chinese characters. And there's no way to, like, it could accept or decline. And if you accept, it goes, a mindset where I have to accept them, but if I want them in the calendar. But I was like, God, this is annoying. What the heck is going on here? And that's what I found. And I'm fairly confident that that's going to clear. In fact, that's going to be in my helpline column.
See, this
in the Chronicle next week.
The tip of the iceberg, I think, like with all the, you know, IoT stuff coming up or whatever you want to call it, with all these connected devices, you know, instead of just, you know, attacking computers and phones, it's going to be, you know, pretty soon, you know, your Alexa or your whatever, your home connected device is going to start going off.
Well, they're
spouting. Just go, yeah, buy this, do this.
There's still that whole idea.
Only housewives meet you, that kind of thing.
You know, how bad could it be? You know, how much security do you need on an internet connected refrigerator? Well,
a lot more than we put out there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be one of the largest botnets out there out for hire. And most of them are fueled by like webcams, baby cams, IoT devices that just aren't locked down. Yeah, they're renting that out now. I heard it was $20,000 a week, $30,000 a week for about 100,000 or so bots, and you can scale it up to I think 400,000 bots is what you could get. And you know, again, the prices on that, small companies, small governments. But the idea is this is coming from a couple of fairly credible hackers, and these things are for sale now. And the one that's powering this one is, you know, baby cams and all that kind of good stuff.
If this will play for me, I want to somebody set up a recursive loop between Google and
Google Assistant.
Between Google Home and Alexa or the Amazon Echo.
Alexa, what's on my calendar tonight?
Tonight there is one event at 6 p.m. There's Hey Google, what's on my calendar tonight?
You have a calendar entry today at 6 p.m. The title is Alexa, what's on my calendar tonight?
Tonight, there's one event. At 6 p.m., there's Hey Google, what's on my calendar tonight?
Wow, that's awesome.
You have a calendar entry today at 6 p.m. The title is Alexa, what's on my calendar tonight?
Tonight, there is one event. At 6 p.m., there's Hey Google, what's on my calendar?
Recursive loop.
That is awesome. Super low-techy, but you know, people talk about hacking and finding cool, clever things. Really, that's all it is. It's, you know, when people find flaws in software, it's not that they're finding, you know, going down these dark, deep rabbit holes. It's just they find something kind of clever like that. The only difference between maybe them and you is that they've taken a C class so they can read a little bit of code and they find something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, but that's what we're looking at, the fact that that can happen.
Right, and in this situation, it's harmless, but I think, was it Flick that talked about somebody knocking on the door and say, hey, Siri, unlock the door? All right, well, there's the outro music. So that was our experiment with going back to phone calls and being a phone-in show, and I liked it. I had a good time. I appreciate everyone who called in and asked us questions and had a conversation with us about technology, so that was pretty awesome. If you like that format, feel free to go to geekradio.com and send us a note and let us know what you think.
Like us on Facebook, tell us there.
Yeah, like us on Facebook, please. And we'll see and spread the word. You know, if you know people that want to call into a computer show, spread the word.
We're back.
I also wanted to mention that tomorrow is the monthly HaHa meeting at the Black Lab, 7 p.m., Houston Area Hackers Anonymous
Geek,
or whatever you want
yeah,
it to
Yeah, Geek
for.
Gathering this Friday, too, right?
Geek Gathering
Geek
on
gathering
Friday.
2808 Mile at Drew Cones.
Do you have access to the Geek Radio page to put in events and stuff?
I don't know.
We'll have to see about that update with the ha-has and
okay.
stuff. All right, well, anyway, thanks for tuning in to Technology Bytes. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
See you next week.
The Movember Foundation is the global charity raising funds and awareness for men's health. We're fighting for all men to live happier, healthier, longer lives. This Movember, join us to stop men dying too young. Visit Movember.com to learn more about how you can get involved and donate to support men's health. Movember, changing the face of men's health. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
During stressful times, the simple act of thoughtful breathing can be helpful in restoring sanity and offering a bit of internal peace. Join Sister Adeline O'Donohue for a guided meditation in the Christian tradition at 12 p.m. on Wednesday, December 7th at the Rothko Chapel at 3900 Yupon. Suggested donation is $10. For more information about the Rothko Chapel, visit rothkochapel.org or call 713-524-9839. KPFT, Houston.
Many companies will match gifts made to nonprofit organizations. A matching gift from your company will help KPFT preserve independent music, arts, news, and views for generations to enjoy. Just make a gift to KPFT this hour at kpft.org. Then contact your human resources office for eligibility requirements and to obtain a matching gift form. Many companies match the gifts of retirees, spouses, and surviving spouses, too. Just fill out the employee portion of the form completely and send the form to KPFT, Attention Matching Gifts, 419 Levitt Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. Your gift to KPFT could double if your company has a matching gift program. Your help makes a difference. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, KPFT.